most things are with another person, right? Acupuncture, massage, meditation, that's all either with another person or with a group. And this is just a different kind of venue or a different tool to use.
Right.
Is it a portable? Would it be portable?
Yes.
Like a battery operated somehow?
Or at least plug into a wall outlet. One of the two.
We took a tour of the new building, and there are all kinds of little nooks. Feynman,
yes.
For people to, you know, get away from their desk or whatever. And, you know, could be something that's, you know, in one of those types of locations. Mm-hmm.
Would there be music to it? Or?
There could be. That's certainly within the realm of possibility. Do you find music is something that you use in a lot of your...
When you think they have music with massage,
mm-hmm.
and some do with meditation, but not everybody. I mean, I just want to know if it would be an option, because people like options.
Right.
Some people might not want any kind of music at all. And some people would probably really enjoy.
Right. So flexibility is important for you guys. Okay.
Yeah, I love options.
Yeah.
And so you'd envision like several different settings that people would be choosing? Are they choosing? Or is it just guiding you through like a scene?
Well, ideally, there would be choices in that respect, too, but right now we're just thinking of developing one prototype.
So the goal would be, you know, so you'd have this tool, I don't know, I call it a tool, so you have it, it's created, but what would I get out of it as, I mean, I just want to know, you know, what you're thinking, what do you want to see an individual getting out of it, or is it really up to the individual? I mean, I think you have to be a little bit more well-formed. I mean, you must have some ideas of what you want a person to experience.
Well, for instance, I'm a hiker, and I have probably 10,000 photographs of mushrooms. And so I have a really intimate kind of relationship with the woods, for instance, and a lot of people don't have access to wilderness spaces in the way that I do, and I think that it's something valuable worth sharing, even in a technological kind of format, as a stand-in for the real thing, and. So it would be kind of a curated walkthrough, an experiential walkthrough where there might be choices of which path you go down or what you might encounter you know, in terms of wildlife. Mm-hmm.
So when you suggest...
Well, I know, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So you have meditation classes here. When you lead people through meditation, do you have any kind of scenery or props, or is it mostly empty rooms, or how is that really done?
Well, it's in a nice space.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, our meditation is in a room over here at Perennial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quiet, it's relaxing, it's welcoming.
Right. So what makes it a nice space? That quality is a little bit high.
Yeah, you want more. for me,
mm-hmm.
there's an openness to it.
Okay.
Okay, so there's an openness to the space. And when you walk in, there is already a sense of kind of peace or calm in the space.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And that's what they have created over there, and other people have commented on that.
And it also has a view similar to this,
uh-huh.
except it wraps just a little bit further around.
I see.
So even just in general, a feeling of almost like you're outside, but
still indoors.
You're comfortable indoors.
I see.
And then the person that's speaking has a very calming, calm voice, but a welcoming kind of non-judgmental voice. And I that, see. To me, it's important.
So someone speaks over top of the class, then?
It's a guided.
Okay.
It's a guided meditation.
I see.
Yep. About 40 minutes. She doesn't talk all the time. Mm-hmm. There is no music in this particular meditation.
Right. Okay.
So this one, we would typically you close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're just listening to what the person is saying. I see.
But only for some points. Like there might be 8 minutes where you're just everybody's all quiet,
mm-hmm.
and your eyes are closed. And sometimes you just are gazing down.
Right.
So it's not necessarily as visual of a meditation.
Okay.
But a previous meditation teacher used chanting as part of hers, and that was a little more open and participative of everybody. So
I see.
And some people loved that, and some people didn't want to chant.
Right.
Yeah. So that's.
Yeah. Are there visual forms of meditation? Is that a common practice, or is it usually?
Solution or inward.
Yeah. Okay.
The one thing I think of, though, is the Louis Schwartzberg.
That's, yeah.
Louis Schwartzberg videos. Mm-hmm. Have you seen those?
I have.
Then that, I think, sometimes can be used for a meditative practice.
Right. People watch the videos and receive
a voiceover
sort of the.
To it. Yeah.
There is, right. Right.
Mm-hmm. And some music or, you know, birds or that kind of thing. And I think those can be effective.
I see.
Yeah, I think those can be effective.
But again, it depends on the person.
Yeah. And you have to be willing to try the different types, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know what to say. I'm always one like, there's a lot of work that goes into it, but I say try it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if somebody is really a meditator and is an inward meditator.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't really meditation. I don't know what it would be called or named.
I see.
But it doesn't sound to me.
Right. So for you, meditation is very much an internal thing. There's not a lot of external stimuli involved.
Not for me.
Not for you. Okay.
What would you say?
In terms of like the Louis Schwartzberg things, I would think that could be meditative for me.
Right.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
So, beyond meditation, are there any other type of therapeutic relaxation programs that deal with, like, I don't know, nature walks or other kind of, I want to say, like, relaxing surroundings?
Well, you know, in this meditation class, she did do a walking meditation. We've done those.
How does that work?
Everybody stands and you walk a certain way around the space.
I see.
So there's no, you're just walking. There's no words at all. There's
right, really, it's just the movement.
It's just the movement.
I see.
The rhythmic movement of everybody doing it together.
I see.
And then your eyes are down.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's more of an experience.
Yeah.
Maybe like an escape type of a thing, just
right.
To take you out of a space you are and make you feel like you're somewhere else,
yeah.
Like a rainforest or a regular forest.
Like a stress reliever, it sounds
right.
Like.
Yeah. Something very similar to the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. But in a virtual reality where you feel immersed in it rather than just watching it on screen. So you have an ability to move about in it, or you can sense yourself moving about in it.
Without moving.
That's, yeah, for the most part. It would be a visual sense of movement, not really a physical sense of movement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Typically these sorts of systems are controlled via like a hand control or potentially a voice control, and you would see your perspective change within the virtual world, but your physical body wouldn't necessarily have to move at all.
So it might be a little kind of like being in a video game of sorts.
Very much so. Yeah.
So you would be controlling very much like so. A video game controller, like I want to go this way or this way.
That is an option. Do you think people would be amenable to that?
You know, I just had a thought. I can see people in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Or children in a right. The children's hospital. I can see a place for it there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to start limiting.
No, that's fine. We're interested in anything you have, yeah.
But I can, you know, I used to work in the hospital many years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I could see how that might be really valuable for some people that aren't able to.
To move on their
to
own.
To move on their own. Or,
yeah.
It could be real helpful.
Right.
On the patient type. Or maybe somebody that is in hospice.
Mm-hmm.
Or homebound.
Right.
I saw something recently about a robot that moves around a museum. So someone can be in their bedroom and connected with the robot, and the robot will move around and they can see all of the artwork.
Through the robot. Yeah.
Which I think is
yeah, I mean, it's similar in concept, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm just trying to think of here. I mean, it doesn't build community, right? I mean,
maybe that's a part of it that we just haven't thought of yet.
Right. I mean, I'm just thinking, does it build community? Is that what you want to do at work?
Mm-hmm.
You want to do more things that build a little bit more relationship with community?
Right. That's important
I think that's important.
Okay.
I mean, don't you? I mean, we have a pro-mindful mm-hmm. meditation. And so people go to the space.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to see one another there, not that you're talking during the...
Right, I mean, that seems like an odd juxtaposition to me, right? You go to a meditative class with a group of people.
Yes.
But you don't actually interact with people who are in the class with you.
Until you're done.
Right.
But there's something about the feeling in the group.
Just because they're there.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, just because they're there. For me.
Right.
I think there could be times where individuals might want a break from everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about the time frame, you know, if they would be willing to take 10 to 15 minutes to go do something like that.
Sure.
But I know, like you said, you're just thinking about it. You're trying to think about it. You start out here, right?
Right.
Broad, and then
yeah, and this is sort of a gathering requirements phase. We're trying to understand what people are looking for in a product like this. If something was to exist in the future, what would enhance your own job or suit your needs?
Yeah. You just have to kind of imagine.
Yeah.
This is really a new frontier.
Yes.
It was there was a product that was funded on Kickstarter that came up with the idea of an affordable head-mounted display, and then Facebook last year bought it for $2 billion, and then Sony and Samsung and Microsoft, they've all jumped on it and are coming up with their own versions, which are...
Right.
Are being taken to market, by Christmas of this coming year for, a price point of around $300. It's been just made somewhat affordable.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
That's just amazing.
Yeah, but in all that kind of development, development of content has lagged behind, so we're trying to get in on the ground level of this. Introducing content that's not usually found in games or
right.
An alternative to that kind of aesthetic, of flying over cities and superhero abilities.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And, possibly in 5 years this will be, you know, a really common thing that every family has, who knows.
Yeah. You don't quite always know.
Right.
You know, I'm always surprised at what sometimes takes off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really am. I'll never forget Snapple. I'll never forget Snapple, somebody that was coming to our house to paint. He had you know, a container when it just came out. And I said, you're gonna pay for iced tea? I said, that is so cheap to make. And then, of course, Snapple since hasn't done so well. But in the beginning, they made a ton of money. So you truly don't know.
Part of that's in the marketing.
Part of that's in the marketing.
Mm-hmm. You have to open a Snapple, and there was a little thing on the inside.
That's true. That's true. I forgot about that. Because I never bought it, but I...
So in terms of the hardware, because that's actually a good question, if you were considering to buy something like this, would a $300 price point be too high? Would it be something that you would have to think about seriously? I mean, what are your equipment buying kind of limits?
Did you say $300?
Well, somewhere around that, yeah. It would depend on the model, but I mean, if that was a requirement to use something like that, would mm-hmm. that be too much? Would it be just about right? What do you think?
You know, I look at an iPad,
mm-hmm.
and everything an iPad does, and you can get something that's cheaper than an iPad, but that's
sure.
a pretty remarkable piece of technology,
right?
And this is half the price or...
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, to keep in mind, this is just the display.
Yes.
Right? So you would need probably a computer to go with it to actually provide the environment. But the display alone would be about $300 or so.
All depends right on your mm-hmm. outlook. What do you say? You probably... Cause you
I'm wondering what happens if it breaks.
Right.
Because we have, like, even in our fitness centers, we have things that break all the time because of high use.
Sure, sure.
And that's a consideration. Like, what happens if it breaks? Do we get a replacement? Do we call somebody?
Right. So having some sort of warranty program or technical assistance program would be important.
Or have it sturdy.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all of those things, right?
That's really important.
It is very important.
So ruggedness
Nobody
is something
wants
that
to
that
deal with something that's broken.
Right.
No.
To drag.
And yeah. I get a lot of Irish, and I get a lot of those calls if something's broken. So
mm-hmm.
you know, from my perspective, it's like you want something that is sturdy,
right?
But comfortable,
right? Because I mean, potentially you'd be going through a lot of different people
yes.
over the course of a month or a year. So
right.
you want to make sure it holds up to abuse and use.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I would think, does there need to be a person in the place it is
mm-hmm.
for them to help administer this to someone, like help with the computer,
I
help
see.
Run the program? Is there a password?
Right, some sort of instructor / guidance.
Right.
Individual.
And or monitor to make sure no one's walking
right.
off.
Right, right. So when you have facilities here, I'm guessing a lot of the stuff is kind of big and bulky and hard to walk away with, but, I mean, you must have some way of monitoring that from happening. No?
There's no cameras around here. Bill doesn't kind of believe in that.
I see.
That philosophy.
I see.
Sure, some things have been taken.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, not too much is taken from our fitness rooms. But you're right, things are big and bulky, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of the equipment now have television right on them.
Right, right.
So that's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you see as that could be something that would work, to have it integrated with more traditional exercise equipment, where you're viewing the experience while you're doing something else, like cycling or whatnot?
Well, I don't want to feel encumbered when I'm exercising and if
mm-hmm.
I'm sweating. I mean,
sure.
I'm just talking very practical
oh, yeah.
right now.
Sure, whatever.
Extremely practical.
Mm-hmm.
But if I felt something was heavy on my face, and I don't know how you visualize this, and I was sweating, I probably wouldn't like the way that that feels.
I see.
But maybe if you're on a treadmill walking?
Yes.
Like or if it was a screen instead of, yeah.
Or slower speed. If you had something on your head, because if you are running, it's going to probably rock back and forth.
Right. That's certainly a concern.
Car sickness.
Yeah. Maybe if you're moving in there, yes.
Right. I mean, that's actually a very serious concern, right? Does the motion in the virtual world match the physical motion of the body? Some people can get very disturbed if they don't line up.
Yes, right. Yeah, that's for sure. As far as the price point, back to the $300,
sure.
It's not a terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But it might, I don't know, it's a little high.
I see. Okay.
It's not terrible. Mm-hmm. But for what I imagine this to be, but we're imagining, right? But
yeah, imagining. Go ahead.
I think it's just a little high.
Okay. That's good to know.
I think it depends on what you're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And how often it would be used.
Right.
So if it's just sitting there by itself.
Sure.
And someone's using it, then
yeah. Right. So in terms of your jobs, do either of you deal with purchasing or procurement issues? Is that something that either of you two do?
Yeah, I do. Well, that's just medical equipment, and then also fitness center stuff kind of goes through here, too.
Okay. So in terms of being the person to decide if we're going to buy something or not, this would be something within your purview.
If we felt like it fell under our, mm-hmm. it fell under what we feel, or we might ask somebody else, depending, you know, it's unique. Some of this stuff is unique.
Sure.
There was an online behavioral health program
mm-hmm.
that came through here, and I have my supervisor actually is a MD, and we piloted here for about 8 weeks, 10 weeks, we piloted it,
mm-hmm.
and it was very successful in terms of the decrease in depression status for our individuals, and so we bought this program. I guess we'd call it a program. It's online.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty well done.
Mm-hmm.
For a year.
A license.
A license for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, are a ton of people using it? Not a ton.
Mm-hmm.
But is it worth it for the people that use it? Yeah.
I see. So some sort of like preview period would be valuable for
Very
you guys.
Very much so, to pilot something.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've thought of that. You would. I mean, first of all, you have to kind of decide if this is something you want to put your energies into.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can gain a lot from doing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, what kinds of things did that program do?
For people? Mm-hmm. Well, they had to do a pretest. And so if somebody felt like they were really stressed or if they felt like they were depressed,
mm-hmm.
Lacking confidence, maybe is all part of it.
Mm-hmm.
They were, after you did this online assessment, then actually somebody spoke with you. It was a real person, but it was a tape, right?
I see.
And you were put into one of these three categories.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had practice sessions.
Mm.
And if you did the practice sessions over this period of time and you post-tested, the great majority of people really learned these skills.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to practice. And it was the thing. If you didn't practice, you weren't probably going to feel better.
I see. So the active component, the active participation of the individual was critical to the success
critical.
Of the thing. So a purely passive program, you think, would have done much worse for them.
I do.
Okay.
If you don't practice some of these skills,
mm-hmm.
how do you ever? It's hard to get better. Hard to think that you're getting better at something.
Mm-hmm.
Asking for things.
Right. Do you think it was the actual increase in skill level, or do you think it was the perception of the skill level increase which was actually more valuable?
Well, probably both, mm-hmm. but probably thinking that you can.
Mm-hmm.
When we had the pilot, I thought, oh, we'll never get 10 people. Again, I thought, will we ever get 10 people? About 60 people signed up, and about 25 were active.
For this
period of time. And really active, probably about 12 to 15.
Interesting.
Yes.
So just about a quarter then.
But then the real active.
Right, were the ones who were really helped by it.
Do you know John Rice?
I do not.
He's a psychiatrist in town. His son and he developed this with another person.
Mm-hmm. John Rice. Okay.
That's the psychiatrist, but Revere is the fellow that we worked with here.
Is he private practice associated with the university?
John Greist was in private practice. He was at the university, but he left, and I know he worked for Dean for a while.
I see.
And I'm not sure if he's retired.
Okay.
And Revere's not a physician.
I see.
His son isn't a physician.
Okay.
What was the name of the program?
The program is called Thrive.
Thrive.
Real snappy. Thank you. No, I just
said drive. Interesting.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you need to kind of think of the niche, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we're trying to find.
Yep.
Is it kids at nature centers? Is it wellness centers? You know.
Right.
I think hospitals.
Hospitals.
And that'd have to be worked on a little bit more.
It's right. Loose,
but,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I see it, in, as I sit here, I can see a space for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anywhere where people are sort of restrained to a location like a bed or a house or a room.
I wonder about people with dementia. I don't know. It would, I don't know.
Right.
It could make
it
comforting to some people.
I almost wonder if for a dementia patient, and this is me speaking out of any medical background whatsoever, if it would be more appropriate to have a virtual reality of scenes from their life rather than just nature in general.
Yes. Could.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. You know, if somebody was really a gardener or something and you had a topic area that they were, and a topic area was created.
I could see for something like that, it might need to be heavily customized for the actual user, especially if they're losing their memory.
Mm-hmm. That would be interesting too, to be able to customize it
mm-hmm.
for specific individuals.
Right, right.
Like if they're a gardener, this is the more of a garden path.
Sure, sure.
And or different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like if you've seen this one 5 times, are you going to want to see it again?
Right.
Do you want to go to the next level?
Is there a novelty aspect that if you experience it too much, it becomes less useful in some fashion?
Yeah. Right, or you get a little bored.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. Of course, the argument might be made that being excited is not the point.
Right.
That's a good point to be made.
If it is designed for relaxation, you might not want to have their heart racing.
No, exactly. But you might not want to keep walking the same path.
Right.
Every single time you're on there. And
sure.
It seems like you might want to see
something new.
A little surprised.
Right.
Sometimes. Yeah.
In memory care units, they play a lot of the same stuff and thinking over and over and over again.
Mm.
You know, like pictures of babies. They'll do certain videos again and again.
What is a memory care unit?
Memory care is for people with dementia.
Oh, okay. That's what it's referred to.
That's what it's referring to.
Okay.
So
okay.
In that case, you would want to see the same thing.
Maybe so. I don't know. I mean, my mind's kind of going here. But, you know, I think you're onto something, but again, you're just seeking, seeking to look at things a little bit different and what might people want or use.
Mm, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, it's tricky when there's nothing there to compare it. We're just imagining something that doesn't exist.
kind of thrilling.
yeah, definitely.
And so you said you're associated with UW. What department is it?
It's called D2P, which is a design to product, and it's was something that we applied for, and they picked 12 projects that WRF and this other organization,
Wisconsin Institutes of Discovery,
going to put some money behind and train the people.
It's sort of like an entrepreneurial boot camp in a way, where people have ideas, and they're trying to walk them through the steps of actually how you take just an idea, something that could be, you know, marketed and sold.
So this is a part of an assignment, and we're really, I think, the only project out of the 12 that is in the position of not of trying to make something that for something that doesn't exist, whereas the other projects are very, they have prototypes and they're pretty close to being taken to market already.
Wow.
So it's kind of a gamble with this, but there is a lot of press right now, you know, and hype about it, so who knows?
Yeah, that's it. That's
just start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. Well, I wish you, it's exciting. I wish you well as you continue your journey trying to.
well, thank you.
You are welcome.
Yeah.
Very creative. Mm. Extremely creative.
They actually bought one of my pieces. That's all mushrooms. Omega.
Yeah,
I don't know where it's going to end up, but.
We'll have to look for that. It'll probably be in the Feynman Army building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are really cool. Very, very visually stimulating. But not in a really crazy way.
And 10,000 pictures of mushrooms is really a lot of mushrooms.
It really is.
That is a lot.
It's a lot of external hard drives.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Nice to have met you.
Likewise.